off of some of these presentations. And I hope that you take this information that you're learning, and if you hear only one thing from my mouth out of the whole weekend, if you only remember one thing, remember this. God has called us for a special purpose. He's called us out of darkness to walk in His marvelous light. I tell you that because I hope you realize what an awesome privilege it is for you to be sitting in the seats that you're sitting in today. Do you realize where in the wake of eternity you are sitting right now? You have an entire picture of how the war in heaven started. You have how the war began, how Jesus came and died for you. You have all the pieces in between. We have been gifted something from God called the Spirit of Prophecy that fills in the gaps. Brothers and sisters, do you know we live in a day and age where information is at our fingertips? Did you know that you have more access to the entire library of the world that you can search in a matter of seconds? You know, you have so much more access to information than someone did in the 1900s in their entire lifetime. You have in one day. One day. I don't believe any of us are going to get to heaven and go, God, I'm sorry, I didn't know. We live in a day and age of information gluttony. But can I tell you something? It's not going to save you. All the information in the world, you may know all the facts about the Bible. You may know Jesus' favorite color, what he likes to eat. You may know all the facts, but if you don't know Jesus, it means nothing. The reason I want to start out this presentation tonight is because last night we talked a little bit about this thing called movies and television and how they affect our mind and how they can influence us, whether it be for good or for evil. It has an impact upon our lives, all of it. If you don't believe that movies and television don't have an impact on you, then it would be absolutely ridiculous for the advertising industry to spend money trying to make commercials. The reason they make commercials is because they know if you see a product enough times, you will go out and buy the product. And they've proven it time and time and time again. It works. So the same thing happens with movies. Instead of selling you a product, are they selling you an idea? Are they selling you a theology? Are they selling you a mindset? And if so, how do you tell the difference between what's good and what's bad? I'll give you one simple answer on how to do that. You must learn how to view the entire world through the lens of this book. If you do not understand or read the words of this book, brothers and sisters, it's impossible for you to see what I'm going to show you tonight. You must fall in love with truth, and you must get it from the source of truth, which is the Word of God. It is the only way that you can spot a counterfeit. You cannot learn to see what a counterfeit is by studying a counterfeit. If all you do is look at the counterfeit, you will never know what the genuine is. The only way for you to spot a counterfeit is to know what the genuine Word of God says. With that being said, we're going to open up the conversation of what is it that God is wanting from you and me? Where is He wanting us to go? What is going on here, and why does it matter what I watch? Who cares? I know what the truth is. I read my Bible. I go to church every single weekend. Why does it matter for me to watch this movie or that movie? Tonight might be a little difficult for some of you. We're going to show a couple of things that I'm sure a lot of you have probably seen. But I want you to put your spiritual eyes on, and I want you to consider, what does the Bible teach, and what does this movie teach? It's a whole lot easier for people to get to go to the movies. It's a whole lot harder for them to come to church. The world wants to get its information from the movies. But I'll tell you what, a movie is no different than a sermon. A sermon is doing exactly the same thing that a movie's doing. It's giving you a worldview. I'm giving you a view of the Bible and what the world to look through the lens of this. Do you know that a movie's not doing anything different? A movie tells you how to walk, how to talk, how to act, how your relationship should be. It's giving you a worldview. Is it the same as your Bible? You need to ask that question every single time you sit down and want to watch something. How does this affect my biblical worldview? Here's what the Bible says. In Leviticus 20:26, it says, "You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." What God is saying is, I've called you for a special purpose, and I'm asking you as a people to be holy. What God is asking of the children of Israel is nothing different than what he's asking of you and me today. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having a spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish." This is a picture of the people that God is asking you and I to be, holy, without a spot, without a blemish. How is this possible? What does that mean to be holy? We can hardly understand this concept. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Many of us have walked in darkness. Brothers and sisters, I grew up in the Adventist church. I read my Bible through and through before high school. My father was very big on the spirit of prophecy. I read the Conflict of the Ages series before I got into high school. I knew what the war between God and Satan was. I intellectually understood an incredible amount of information about the Bible. And I moved to Hollywood and I walked away from God. How did I do that? How did I have all this knowledge, but I walked away from God? I walked into darkness. You see, God has called us out of that. This is what the Bible says. "Then this is the message which you have heard of him, Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Brothers and sisters, if you call yourself a children of the light, you call yourself a Christian, then you should walk in the light. Amen. Does that make sense? This is a picture of what God is asking of us as a people. I want you to be holy, and I want you to out of darkness. I want you to walk in the light, and I want you to be blameless. Listen to this. The reason I share this with you is because when I read in John 14:15, it says, "If you love me," can you complete this? That's kind of interesting because we can't. So what does that say about our love for God? You see, this is a promise. It's God that can help us. Right? Listen to this. In 1 John 5:2 and 3, it says, "But this we know, that we love the children of By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and that his commandments are not grievous. If we walked around and we said, why do I have to follow you, God? Why do I gotta do what you say? Why can't I kill people? Why can't I do all this sexual immorality? Why can't I steal from my neighbor? Oh, it's just, why, God? Why do I have to follow you? If you said that, that would show something about your love for God. But God is saying, if you love me, this is how you know and you show and you demonstrate, right? Did you know that the Bible tells you to hate something? Listen to this. It says in Romans 12, 9, let your love be genuine and abhor that which is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Do you know that this word abhor means, does it make you sick? When you see things that are evil, do you get sick, physically ill, when you see evil? Or are you attracted to it? I'm going to ask you some very hard questions today. How many of you recognize this? Anybody in here see this movie? Remember, you have to tell the truth. You're in a church. A great majority of you have probably seen this. Now I have a question. This is the poster. Yeah, it just seemed like it was like not really working, but I can see. I'll see. I think it's full. Sometimes it just gets a little laggy right here, but I'll try. This is the poster for this particular cartoon. Now, question, spiritual question. Where in this book does it tell you it's good to be bad? Where? Where? Not one single page does it tell you that. But now, isn't that interesting? When I ask a question, who in here has seen this? And a majority of your hands go up. Brothers and sisters, do you believe we're engaged in a war? A war. This war is extremely real. They aren't playing for fun. They are playing for keeps for your soul. You see, let me share with you a little bit about what the story is all about. You see, the little minions, they want to find and follow the most evil character that they can find. So it goes through the history of the world, and they're looking for the most evil character that they can find, and they keep killing them so they become completely depressed because they can't find the most evil character and follow him. Brothers and sisters, are your spiritual alarm bells going off? Because where in this book does it tell you to find the most evil character that you can find and follow him? It does not. Nowhere in this book. I have been to some of the most conservative churches. Let me tell you this. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to wake you up. Amen. To this war. I have been to the most conservative churches around the world where everybody in the church looks like they walked off an Ellen White set. Everybody's super vegan, does everything exactly right. And I say, who here has seen this movie? And 90% of the hands will go up. Why do you think the Bible says, abhor that which is evil? Does it make you sick? Or are we attracted to it? That's the point that we're at. When the minions go to the place where they want to find this most evil character, listen to what they say when they find her.
The most super villain we've all been waiting for.
Doesn't it feel so good to be bad?
Doesn't it feel so good to be bad? Yeah! I have a serious question for you. Where's Jesus right now? Do you think Jesus looks down on a movie like this and goes, "This is awesome"? It breaks his heart. Something like this breaks his heart. The Despicable Me 3 series continues with the same thing. It's not just one movie, it's many movies. Here they are, the lead character, who's a thief, doesn't want to be a thief anymore. He wants to quit his life of thievery. So what happens is all of the little minions are trying to show him, when you were evil and you were a thief, you were happy. But when you were not and a normal person, you were completely sad.
This does not mean that we are going back to being villains.
Luca! Bueno? Yeah! Yeah! Pinyuf! Boo! Bueno? Yeah! Pinyuf! Bueno? Yeah! Pinyuf! Boo! Nure Pinyuf!
What does it say right here? Now isn't that interesting? That I just told you, you are children of the light. Walk in the light. Yet here's something that's like, nope, be dark, be evil, follow something that's evil. But you see, they flip it. They psychologically play games with your mind. They make it funny and cute. And trust me, they're cute. It breaks my heart when I see little children walking around with the backpacks and the school books and the things, and I go, if you only knew the war we are engaged in. Look at this. This is the poster for the Despicable Me 2 series. At the very top it says, when the world needs a hero, they call a villain. Guess what, brothers and sisters? The world does need a hero, and his name is Jesus. But what are they telling you to do? If you need a hero, you gonna call a villain? You gonna call Satan? That's the war that we're engaged in. So here's what my Bible says. What if your heart is in a condition where you love the evil and you hate the good? This is what John 3:3-6 says. Jesus answered unto him, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. So I ask the question, if you want a new heart, what does that mean? You need to be born again. You need a new heart, a new spirit. So how do you get this? Because Romans 8:13-17 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So I ask the question, how is it that you can get a new heart? If you need a new way of thinking and a new heart and a new way of being attracted to things that are good, you have to ask. You first have to ask. God is not going to give you something that you don't ask for. So, like the psalmist says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Brothers and sisters, we don't even know how to be good at all. Never, nothing, zero, zip. But if we ask God, you know what he does? He promises. Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and my commandments. This is a promise. When God speaks something out of his mouth, what happens? The world is created. When God says, be whole, I made you whole, what happens? They're healed. When God says, I will put my commandments in your heart and you will keep them, what do you think happens? Interesting. You have to ask God. The reason I say that is because we have a lot of things in the media. Can I ask who here has seen this one? Quite a few. What is the most famous song in this movie? Let It Go, right? Could probably sing the whole lyrics for it, right? I want to show you something that's very interesting to me. Here's the lyrics for Let It Go, some of them. It's time to test what I can do, to test the limits, to break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. Question, where in this book does it say there's no right or no wrong or no rules, that you're free from that? Where? It does not. Anywhere in this book. Can I tell you something that's interesting about music? I love music. The special music, the singing, the songs and everything, my heart just, it joys me to hear music. Why did you learn the ABCs to a song? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, why? Why did Moses teach the children of Israel how to say the Ten Commandments to a song when they came out of the Red Sea? I mean, out of Mount Sinai, when he taught them in song. To remember it. Here's the thing I've learned about music. You have a part in your brain called a hippocampus. And inside of this part of the brain, it's like iTunes for your brain. When a song goes into your brain, there's no delete button. You cannot, I don't want that in my brain anymore. I'm going to delete it. There's no such thing. How many of you used to listen to rock and roll, rap, reggae, I don't know, whatever music you used to listen to? You don't listen to it anymore, and you walk into that grocery store and you hear that song. Where's your mind go? Right back to where you first heard that song, right? Anybody remember songs from the 60s? You hear that? Goes right back to when you were in high school. Why? Because there's no delete button. So what happens when you teach a little girl to sing a song that says there's no right, no wrong, no rules for me, and you do it to a song, it will go into her mind and she will never, ever, ever forget it. Ever. Do you really think that we're in a war? Or is it, we're just playing? This is just make-believe, right? Has nothing to do with God. You know, they're talking about making Frozen 2, and they're talking about giving Elsa a girlfriend. Wrap your mind around that. Since the entire history of there's been a princess, she's always been married to a prince or falling in love with a prince, and now what happens to a 5-year-old girl that says, but mommy, she has a girlfriend, can't I? What does that do to the model of marriage? That pulls it right apart within one generation. Galatians 5 talks about crucifying the flesh. Here's a piece of homework for you. I'm not going to go too much into it, but what Paul is saying is don't use your knowledge for an occasion to do what's wrong. Like, I know what's right, so therefore I can do what's wrong. Don't do that. If you're a child of the light, walk in the light. Do not be in love with the world. That's what 1 John 2:15 through 17 says. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And we talked about this last night. What is the will of God? It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. You can look at what is out there. This is just a random screenshot of the different trailers that are out there, and you can see things like murder, sexual immorality. You don't have to even look at it to know, does that break the Ten Commandments? Is there something in here that is against my Bible? You can just look at things on its surface value and find that right away. But here's the problem. Romans 8, 7 and 8 says, I have a carnal mind, and it's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. This is the problem that we have. We have carnal natures. We're drawn to the evil, and we hate that which is good. That's the basic understanding of our human struggle constantly. What about this one? Any Star Wars fans in here? Yeah? Don't do this one? Should I skip over it? Okay, I'll just skip over it. You have a good guy and a bad guy fighting over the cosmic universe. One's portrayed as good and one's portrayed as evil. Am I right? Is Darth Vader a good guy? No, right? Luke Skywalker, a bad guy, right? Or a good guy, right? I want to show you something. Here's a conversation between Darth Vader, before he was Darth Vader, and one of the dark Sith lords. I want you to listen to the conversation that they have, because he mentions something very interesting there. It's why he became Darth Vader and why he wanted to become Darth Vader. This is why you need to know what your Bible says, and you need to pay attention to everything you watch, and you need to filter that through the lens of the Bible. Everything. And I stand firm on this. You will eventually say, I don't want any of it. Listen to this.
It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis was a dark lord of the Sith, so powerful and so wise, he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He had such a knowledge of the dark side, he could even keep the ones he cared about from dying.
He could actually save people from death.
So here's the information that's told to you. You can use the dark side if you learn it well enough to create life. In fact, you can use the dark side to save people from death. Question: if that is Darth Vader, who is, quote-unquote, the Satan character, does Satan want to save your life? Does Satan want to raise people? Why are they saying that? That seems rather backwards to me, doesn't it? So listen to this.
I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
I have brought freedom, peace, justice, security to my new empire. Who has brought peace? Is that Satan? Freedom? Wow. Where are we going with this? They've taken the story and flipped it upside down. There's even words that are said.
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
If you're not with me, you're against me. That comes straight from Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters. The question was asked of Darth Vader's mother, where did he come from? Listen to her reply.
The Force is unusually strong with him. That much is clear. Who was his father?
There was no father. I carried him, I gave birth, I raised him. I can't explain what happened.
So she doesn't know how she got pregnant. All of a sudden she wasn't pregnant, and then she was pregnant, and she had this baby that she cannot explain. Wow. You know, Darth Vader even dies, and then he's resurrected in the movies when he comes back as Darth Vader. And then when I saw what he's wearing, he has something on his chest that lights up. Wow, whoa, this is getting really deep here now. What do you know of that is a breastplate on somebody's breast that lights up during certain things? What is that? Now that's kind of interesting to me, don't you think? Because this is getting really close to my Bible at this point. Let me show you this. This is a high priest outfit. If you go to a Star Wars convention, they have the actual Star Wars outfit that's sitting there. And you can see the original Star Wars outfit that Darth Vader wore. He has Hebrew written in between the buttons. You do not write Hebrew in between the buttons if you do not know something about the truth. You see, brothers and sisters, it's like watching the great controversy through the devil's eyes. That is why all of the other characters, Luke Skywalker, is part of the rebellion. And the rebellion is the good guys. I want to show you something. When George Lucas came up with the idea for Star Wars, he got the idea from a guy named Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell wrote a book called A Hero with a Thousand Faces. If you've ever heard of The Hero's Journey, it's a very popular kind of storytelling format that they say almost every story is written under. That's Joseph Campbell's work. So here, George Lucas is going to say he got his idea from this guy, Joseph Campbell.
Star Wars producer-director George Lucas.
About 10 years ago, I set out to write a children's film. I had an idea of doing a modern fairy tale. Stumbled across A Hero with a Thousand Faces. After reading more of Joe's books, I began to understand how I could do this. It was a great gift, and a very important moment. If I don't, you know, it's possible that if I hadn't run across that, I would still be writing Star Wars today. There's a wonderful life force that comes through, a wit and charm when Joe speaks, that as wonderful as the books are, don't capture the man.
So he basically says if he wouldn't have come across this man's writings, he would not have written the Star Wars series in the first place. So then that begs the question, well, what does this guy believe? Do you know that this guy actually believes that Yahweh is evil? And he says that Yahweh's the twisted God, and he's the evil one, and he created the world to be evil, and we don't want this kind of God. Listen to what he says about God.
Now that trickster trait turns up in deities like Yahweh. Yahweh's a trickster. He lets people build a building, and then because it gets to be three stories high, he afraid it's going to wreck heaven, and he comes down and floods the world. That's a trickster stunt. That's a ridiculous act. And we think it quite normal for a deity to behave that way. If a human being behaved that way, we'd send him to a lunatic asylum. And here you have the deity coming through as the trickster, as the destroyer, as the disruptor of programs. Yahweh's full of this kind of thing.
So it doesn't, I guess, make too big of a deal that he kind of has his facts a little bit backwards, you know, the flood came and then they built the building, but, you know, minor details, right? He hates God. So why would George Lucas create a series that puts God in a good light if it's based off of this guy's writings? Does that make sense? If you look at all of the characters that are in the bad person roles of these movies, they all share characteristics of Christianity. They basically are telling you the story through the lens of Lucifer's eyes. Here is the Rogue One top of the movie poster. It says a rebellion built on hope. What does the Bible say about what does the dictionary say about what a rogue is? Rogue means a dishonest or unprincipled man, a scoundrel, villain, a good for nothing. So if the rogue person is the good guy in the movie and they're telling you that you should be a part of the rebellion, they're telling you the opposite of what my Bible tells me. Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:23 that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to be a part of a rebellion. Nowhere. It actually tells you that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The new Star Wars that came out did something that was very interesting. I'll give you a little bit of Star Wars canon for those of you that don't know too much about the storyline, but Walt Disney purchased the Star Wars series from George Lucas for $4 billion. If you were to count to a billion, just 1 billion, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, how long do you think it would take you to count to a billion? You can look this up on the internet. 100 years. If you spent $4 every second, it would take you 100 years to spend $4 billion. You could not even spend it in your lifetime. That's an incredible amount of money. The second that Walt Disney got a hold of the series, George Lucas always wrote that there's a good side of the Force and a bad side of the Force, a light and a darkness, and you had to choose which side you were going to be on. You know what Walt Disney did? They said, scrap that. They took away the middle, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to blend the two together so that light must be balanced with darkness. You must have as much evil in you as good. And that's exactly what they did in this last Star Wars. They blended the idea of light and darkness having a balance together. Question, where in this book does it ever tell you that? Not one solid place. So if you read the Bible and then you go and you watch these movies and they tell you something opposite, what if you spend more time watching movies than you do reading your Bible? How impactful are movies on our minds? We learned about that last night. They're hugely impactful. So when you teach these stories, they all of a sudden have this weight in our minds. Ephesians 5:8, the text that we read tonight, for at one time you were in darkness, but you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children in the light. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These are the verses that tell us there is no connection between light and darkness. It is impossible to blend the two. You cannot blend the two. Yet that's what Star Wars wants you to do. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light and darkness? Mark 7:20 through 23 says, what comes out of a person defiles him. From within, out of the heart of a man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Brothers and sisters, I want you to take a serious, serious look at your movies that you watch. It's not rocket science. I'm not telling you something that is revolutionary, mind-blowing. If you simply looked at the movie and you said, what is this movie teaching me? Does it have elements of wickedness, deceit, sensuality, pride? Is there murder in it? Are people cheating on each other? Are those things in this movie? If it is, walk away. Turn it off. Does that make sense? We know garbage in, garbage out. If you eat a bunch of donuts, what happens to you? Eventually, you will show what happens when you eat a bunch of donuts, right? The same thing happens in your mind. If you put a bunch of garbage in your mind, you will eventually show that garbage will be coming out of your mind and out of your mouth. You see, God is asking us and calling us, be a peculiar people, be separate, separate from the world. Don't walk like them, look like them, talk like them. Don't be like them. Be a children of the light. Walk in the light. I feel extremely passionate about this because, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to make a choice. We have stood with one foot in Babylon and one foot in the church for too long. I pray for the day I walk into a church and I say, who here has seen this movie? And people go, what? What are you talking about? I pray for that day. A ministry like mine should not exist.
Brother, I never
praise God. But sister, listen, this is a thing that is confusing our church. It's a conflicting message. One tells you, be a good person, love those that are around you. And one version, Hollywood's version, is sleep with whoever you want, do whatever you want, party like it's 1999. Go for it. You only live once, right? This is what Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Do you? Do you cringe when you hear cuss words? I used to have a foul mouth. When I worked in television, everybody cusses. Every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. Every other word when I worked in Hollywood. It took an incredible amount of training to retrain my brain to just speak normally. And you know what? Today, when I hear cuss words, I like, ouch. It hurts my ears. God can transform anyone, anything, anywhere, no matter where you've been. That's what the Bible tells me. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit will I put within you. God is promising. It does not matter how many movies you've watched. It doesn't matter how much darkness you think you've got into. God is promising he can take you out of that and he can give you a new heart. Brothers and sisters, I spend an incredible amount of time in Hollywood doing drugs, wasting my time in bars, drinking like a crazy man, and literally if you would have met me 10 years ago and said, I will be in your church tonight preaching a message, I would have laughed at you. And here I stand today in my right mind. Brothers and sisters, there's no darkness that you can get into. I am convinced, like Paul, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Give him your heart. Give him your heart. Give him your eyes. Give him your time. And hate evil. Ask God to make it turn sour in your mouth. I used to watch every movie that was under the sun. Didn't matter what the ratings were, it doesn't matter. In fact, if the movie had a gun in it, I loved it. And I prayed, God, if you leave it up to me, I'm going to watch these movies. If you give me the choice, I will always watch these movies. I love them. And you know what? I said, God, not as I will, as you will. Here is my heart. Take it and do it what you want with it. And you know what? Today, I can't stand watching movies. They make me physically ill because I see what they're doing to my brothers and sisters. I thought I would never leave the Hollywood industry. I would be there till the day I die. My brother has an interview of me the day I got to Hollywood, and he's sitting down and interviewing me, and I said, I will be here till the day I die. I love this place. And you know, it's an interesting feeling going near LA today. I know there's good people out there, but I also know what that town is doing to our world. Do you feel the same way? I'll tell you how to do it. The closer you come to Jesus, the stranger and stranger these things will grow strangely dim. In the light of his glory and his grace. The way you get away from it is get closer to this. I hope that you learned something tonight, because our Bible is constantly full of advice and promises that God can take you away from this. His divine power has granted us all things to pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God's given you a way of escape. He's promised that he's made a way for you. I want to read to you an interesting quote from Mrs. White. First, this comes from the testimonies. A Christian has victory over every besetment, over his passions. There is a remedy for the sin-sick soul. That remedy is in Jesus. Precious Savior, his grace is sufficient for the weakest, and the strongest must also have his grace or perish. I saw that this grace could be obtained. Go to your closet and there alone plead with God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Be earnest and sincere and fervent in prayer availeth much. Like Jacob, like wrestle in prayer, agonize. Jesus in the garden, great sweat, great drops of blood. You must make an effort. Do not leave your closet until you feel strong in God, and then watch. As just as long as you watch and pray, you can keep these evil besetments under, and the grace of God will appear in you. Amen. You must ask God and hold on to him like Jacob did. I'm not going to leave you until you change my heart and bless me. Because we all know, brothers and sisters, that a day is coming. A day of lawlessness is coming. A day of incredible confusion is coming, and perhaps is right at the door. The Bible has talked about it for eons and centuries. Our parents talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. But listen to this, and I want you to be very careful when you dissect this verse, because it says the coming of the lawless one is in accordance to with Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You know what the problem is of constantly training your brain to accept a lie is? You don't know the truth. When you watch error over error over error over error, you train the brain to accept error and not fall in love with the truth. And when that delusion comes, brothers and sisters, you will be lost. That's what the Bible tells me. You must fall in love with the truth and stand on it and know how to answer through it. Amen. You have to. It is the only way that we will survive what is at the door. Psalms 97:10 says, "You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints and delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." God will protect us. There's no need to be scared of the end time thing that's going to come. But what God says is just hate the evil things that are in the world and fall in love with Jesus. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. That's all I ask. My dad used to do something funny with us when we were young. He'd say, "Oh, you want to watch TV? Okay. However much hours of TV you watch, you have to read your Bible." I'll tell you what. We, of course, in the beginning said, "Okay, fine, great. I'll watch a two-hour movie. I'll do a two-hour study." But the more I started doing those studies, the less I wanted to start watching this or that. When you really, really understand the love that God has for us, and then you see a movie that speaks against God, it does something to you. Amen. It lights a fire inside of you, and it should. I want to leave you with one thought. I believe that if you give God an opportunity, all you have to do is be willing. That's it. Willing. If you give him an opportunity, he wants to be the God in your life. I've asked him many times in my life, God, I need help with this or that. Doesn't matter what it is. And I just say, God, my heart is willing. You change it. I pray that prayer for you. Give him a chance. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity and this time here tonight.